Hi, this is Jeff Hankerson. I'm here with Emma Jane Hogman, co-author of Front End Drupal by Prentice Hall. And today we're going to talk about theming in Drupal. So you want to be a themer. Now, one of the things, Emma, that when I was approaching theming for the first time, I kind of found it conceptually easier to just start from scratch. And I made my own template files. I made my CSS completely from scratch. I did my JavaScript from scratch. And I found that easier just to figure out how all the pieces put together. But that's not the only way you might approach it. Can you talk a little bit about what some of the different approaches might be?
Yeah, there's all kinds of ways to approach this problem. And ultimately, different people will have different learning styles. And some people want, like you wanted, that sort of pristine environment where the only problems that were being introduced were problems that you had created. And other people will find it a lot easier to start with everything built, and then the only problems are the things where they've changed what existed before. And I go through a number of different approaches in front-end Drupal, but ultimately, like the first theme that you build is called Bulg, the Goblin Chieftain, and ultimately it has nothing in it. It's just the bare template from webstandards.org that you put some variables into. And then you start sort of adding things into it. And that sort of minimalist or the bare approach is absolutely one way to do it. But there's some really great information in the starter kits. And Zen especially has a whole lot of documentation to help people get started. And whether you want to start with that clean approach or start with a well-documented base, there's certainly different ways to do it depending on what your preferences are.
Yes, and even though I started from scratch, I'm starting to come around to the idea of using a starter theme like Zen, just because, you know, there's only so many three column layouts you want to build in your life, and there's only so many times you want to test that in every single browser that's relevant. So
yeah.
I am coming around to that point of view myself. What kind of skills do themers need to have? What kind of things do they need to bring to the table?
There's five languages, essentially, that you need to be aware of. And XHTML, isn't this horrible? I have to look in my own book to figure out what those five languages are. XHTML, cascading style sheets, scripting languages, PHP, and then ultimately some of the Drupal-specific functions as well. So there's a lot of things that you need to be at least aware of. I don't know that you need to be a master in all of them, but certainly the more comfortable you are with each of those languages, the better your theme is going to look.
Absolutely. And did you mention JavaScript? We didn't leave JavaScript out, did we?
I said scripting languages. I hope I said JavaScript. JavaScript,
okay.
And
okay.
jQuery as well.
Okay, yeah.
So within that, there's the two. And we've got three chapters in front-end Drupal that are dedicated to JavaScript, jQuery, and how those two, well, it's essentially the scripting language plus the library, how they fit into Drupal.
And if people aren't familiar with jQuery, it's a JavaScript framework that actually makes your JavaScript a lot easier to write, and that's kind of the default library for JavaScript in Drupal, and it's really quite wonderful. Especially if you have a decent handle on your CSS skills. It's kind of just like CSS on steroids. talking a little bit about some of the tools that themers use, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, you're going to have a toolkit, you're going to have a palette of tools to use. What are some of the ones that a themer might have available?
The whole Chapter 2 is essentially dedicated to developing your toolkit as a themer, and I also gave this as a presentation at DrupalCon DC in March of 2009. And essentially, there's a whole suite of tools. So Firebug is a great extension for Firefox, which helps you out with cascading style sheets and debugging JavaScript, that sort of thing. If you're on Internet Explorer, there's an equivalent toolbar, and on Opera as well. Opera, I think, is Dragonfly. And then the IE toolbar as of 8 is built in. There's also the Web Developers toolbar, which has validation for cascading style sheets in XHTML, which is pretty handy. And so that's sort of within the browsers. Then you've got browser testing. Browsershots.org is a free website where you can have them spit out different options for your website. Browsercam.com is one that I've used off and on for years. The great thing about Browsercam is they now have an option where you can log into another machine and essentially drive your website through remote desktop or VPN access. So you can actually check it yourself on that browser. So when I was trying to debug some drop-down menus, I don't have the ability to set up an entire testing suite with 18 computers and 18 different variations of browsers. So I paid a small fee and got 24 hours of testing time in that suite, and that's browsercam.com. No affiliation and no kickback for sure, but they're pretty cool.
I actually take a little bit of a different approach to that. I actually like to have, as much as I can, test as many browsers on my own computer, and so I'll use something like a virtualization software like VMware or VirtualBox or Parallels on the Mac to run Windows and Linux and test. I think I tried some things like BrowserCam and BrowserShots kind of early on, and they were just a little too slow. It sounds like, from what you're saying, though, they've really improved, so it might be worth a second look.
BrowserShots is still slow, but it's free. So if you've got some time to wait, and ultimately it depends on when you're doing your testing. So if I'm up at, 2 o'clock in the morning doing browser testing, it's very, very fast. But if I'm up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon doing browser testing, you can wait up to half an hour to get all of your screenshots spit out.
Is there any other tools that you'd want to mention that themers might typically use?
There's the Drupal specific stuff as well. The CCK and Views are two modules that are pretty much essential, even though they're not included in the core for Drupal. And then the Devel module, which is not well known at this point, but it can do all kinds of crazy things, from creating dummy content all the way through to, they've got this really neat Themer toolkit, which allows you to right-click on any element, and it will tell you what the variable name is for that element. So if you want to theme it or change it in some way, you can get all of the information from Drupal's perspective. So it's kind of like the Firebug for Drupal. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely use that myself, and it is absolutely worth having at your disposal. I thought I'd just throw in a couple other things that I often have by my side. There's a really good Themer's cheat sheet out there, which is really nice. It has all the variables that you might need to put in your theme. And at the risk of sounding cheesy, I actually do keep a copy of Front End Drupal by me when I'm theming, though.
And, yay!
And I have a fair amount of experience theming, and even though I already knew a lot of what was in the book, there were new things that I discovered, and it's just organized really well so that I don't have to go hunting around, on Google or a bunch of different places to find different pieces of information. You know, unfortunately, the Themer's handbook on Drupal.org, parts of it are excellent, but other parts are kind of a little scattered. And so what the book does, it just kind of puts all that really great information and examples into one good spot. So, like I said, the risk of sounding cheesy, I actually do keep this with me when I'm theming now because I find it to be a useful tool.
Well, and certainly a lot of the information that is in this book is available online, as you mentioned, in the Drupal.org Themer's Handbook. But I tried to structure it a little bit differently, and Constantine as well did an awesome job getting things sort of sorted around. And one of the things that we did was to separate out the information by template, essentially. So there's an entire chapter that's dedicated to the whole structure of the page, and there's a separate chapter that's dedicated to the whole structure of content. And although the information is out there. This is, I think, it's not the way that it's been approached in the past. And certainly, I guess it's a fairly quick read, and then people go back and use it as a reference book. But that's one of the things that's made, it absolutely surprises me when people start saying, yeah, I read your book this week. And it's like, really? This week? It was that easy to read? So, yeah.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I'm not done with it yet. So.
Okay, good.
And one other thing I wanted to mention too is it's very approachable because it is done with a lot of examples and it is done in a kind of a narrative fashion where, you know, depending on your learning style, I know that I found that very easy to kind of sit down and approach, whereas sometimes the online examples that I find are a little obtuse at times. And so that's where I've really found the book to be helpful. But I think that we're ready to call this podcast a wrap on theming. And next time, we're going to go ahead and talk about grids, base themes, and the zen of theming. So who could resist that topic? So this is Jeff Hankerson signing off for Emma Jane Hogman, co-author of Front End Drupal by Prentice Hall. And we hope to see you for the next podcast. Thanks.